Grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Hear to the word of God as it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 6 to 15. We hear it first in French. Today, if you hear God's word, harden not your heart. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given to you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are sowing your word this morning in our congregation. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit, that we are able to understand your word, that we can live it out into our life, and that we can praise God the Father through our deeds. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit. Make us able that we listen, that we have open ears, that we are awake, and that we have open hearts, that we receive what you want to give us this morning, so that our life will bear rich fruit, that you have a rich harvest in our life, in our congregation. Amen. Today we celebrate harvest, and the theme for this week's harvest is My Year to Prosper. Everybody says, My Year to Prosper.
My Year to Prosper.
Now, if we look around in our society, in our church, in the big, big world, we can ask ourselves, what on earth is prosperity? What does it mean that I shall prosper? As it is, this word is taken from the third epistle of John, where John starts, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. What does it mean to prosper? What does it mean when we greet each other and say, this is the year to prosper? At first, we might think, oh, to prosper, that's to heap up piles of money, to have the pockets full of bills, to drive in a Mercedes or a Porsche. But is that really the prosperity that God wants us to have? There's a false prosperity which perishes with this world, and there's a true prosperity which continues on for eternity, which continues till the day when we are sitting together with Christ Jesus on His heavenly table and when we are feasting forever and ever. As I said, John starts his letter saying that you may prosper just as your soul prospers. And our text for the day, Paul says that we may have a rich harvest. What is that? Now, when we look to Jesus Christ, He clearly tells us what it means to have a prosperous life. Christ Himself says in teaching His disciples, saying, For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Yes, we can be for sure that all we have in this world, food, clothes, a roof above our heads, money, honor in this world, cars, whatever wealth this world has to offer, it will perish. And if our soul clings to these items, we will perish. Now, nevertheless, a lot of people are craving to get these things. And we also as Christians, we often crave to have money. To often have not only to eat yams, but to have power every day. We want to have the good things in life. And as we come together to celebrate harvest, there's a big, big temptation. The temptation that I come here with my offering, come down the aisle, put it into the basket and tell to myself, I have given God 5,000, maybe 10,000 francs, now He is going to make me rich. But we overlook something, because God doesn't want to be bribed. Imagine, you are driving, for example, the Boya, and the policeman stops you, and he has golden stripes on his uniform. He's a big, big policeman. And your car is not in order, and you are in big wahala. You are in big trouble, because, you know, this policeman is going to take you to jail. And now you take out of your pocket a small 25 franc coin and say, I want to bribe this policeman, this big policeman with the golden stripes on the uniform. Will he let you go? No. He will even feel insulted. Insulted because you give him so little money to bribe him. And he will take you to jail. And he will take all your relatives. You have to pay everything you have to get him out of jail. But God is no policeman. He doesn't want to be bribed. He wants to give us a gift for free. In my culture, if someone comes to me and gives me a gift, if I then grab into my pocket and take out the 5,000 or 10,000 crown bills and give it to the one who gifted me, he will feel severely insulted because he wants to give me a gift and not to be paid. He wants to be my friend and not treated like just a foreigner or a servant. No, when we are giving our harvest offering, we shall not come with this intention, I give God, and then He will bless me and give me back. But what does it mean when our text says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously also reap generously? Is that not that when we bring our offerings, we will have a good harvest, an abundant harvest, a harvest beyond expectations? Yes, indeed. We will have a harvest beyond expectation. Everybody says, beyond expectation. Because God is really going beyond our expectation. He is not giving us more in quantity, but He is giving us more in quality. And the Word of God clearly tells us what fruit, what harvest our lives will bring if we sow abundantly. We will bring the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, peace, joy, and so on, the whole list we find in Galatians 5. Or if you look into Romans 14, verse 17, there Paul clearly says, the kingdom of God is not eat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not eat or drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. This is the harvest that our life shall bring first. We have heard in the second lesson when Jesus healed the lame man. But He said, even bigger is that God has forgiven him his sins. And the healing only proves that Jesus had the power to forgive sins. And also in His teaching, Jesus commands us, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things, clothes, food, shelter, they will be given to you. And the disciples, they made the experience when they went out to preach the gospel. They didn't take with them pocket full of money. They didn't bring a backpack of food. No, they just went out with one piece of clothes, with a stick, with shoes, no money, no food. But their experience was, wherever they went to, God provided for them. God provided by opening doors. That people said, come into my house, sit at my table, have my food, I share it with you, because the word of God that you bring, this touches my life. I recently read a biography of a woman in Switzerland. And you may think, wow, Switzerland, Swiss banks, the Swiss people really have money. But 150 years ago, there were poor people in Switzerland. Even poorer than the poorest man or woman here in Cameroon. Because here in Cameroon, if you go out, you will find food everywhere. In Cameroon, nobody has to die from hunger. Not so in Switzerland as in the time. That woman, she wrote, I was born in a really poor family. And she just described her youth as it was when she was a child. And she says, very often we came into the house and said, Mommy, Mommy, we have hunger, big hunger. And Mommy said, no job in the house, no job today, you go bed, no job. And you know how that feels if you have not eaten for some days. It really goes into your intestines. And then in her biography she continues on to describe her grandparents, which were very old at the time, but nevertheless she saw in them something that wasn't, we cannot buy with money. The way they talked with each other, it was full of love. Even if they had no food today, they had peace. They had peace and praised God. And even if it was a poor family, those two grandparents, they had somehow a joy. A joy not from this world, but the joy of Christ Jesus. And for a long time this woman did not understand where does this peace come from? Where does this joy come from? And how on earth, why are my grandparents not going out to steal some food somewhere? But they stayed righteous. And at some point in her life she realized, oh, it's the gift of God. And if I will trust in Him and have faith in Him, He will take care of me. And He will give me things beyond my expectation. And she has made the experience in her youth, in her poor youth, oh, we have no food today, but God was providing. Before they starved to death, somebody put an envelope with some money under their doorstep. When they need a new pair of shoes, some women in the village said, oh, come, here I have a spare pair of shoes, take it. And so she learned what it meant that God is providing. He is not providing me a Mercedes before in front of my house, but He's providing for all my needs. Sometimes not the way I expected, but every time beyond expectation. Now this is the first question you have to ask yourself this morning. When are you coming to bring your offering, your harvest offering? What is your intention with that? Are you bringing it to bargain with God? To bribe Him? Then better take your offering and go back. God does not need your bribe. The church does not need this money. But better repent. Realize that God wants to give you everything He has. He wants to open the heavenly storehouses for you. And He wants to teach you that you really can be thankful. Just like a little child is thankful to his father for the provision he gets from him. When we bring our offerings, we shall be full of joy. Joy for all what we have experienced during the last year. And joy looking forward for what is to come in the next year. full of joy that we have experienced the provision of our living God in our lives, and full of peace because we don't have sorrows looking into the future, but be certain and full of faith that He will take provision of us. Now, the second thing, what we learn from our text today is, when we look closely, it is interesting. In verse 8, Paul writes, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And he continues in verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower, and so on, he will also supply and increase your store of seed. This is interesting. When you bring your thanksgiving offering, it's not that you should bring it from your own. You should realize that God is giving you the seed you need. Now, imagine that I would give you a coconut to plant a coconut in my garden, to plant a coconut in my farm. Wouldn't it be strange if you go out, plant a coconut there, and expect that a plantain is going to grow there? Or if I would tell you, oh, over there, I want to plant a mango tree. And you go out to the market and buy a yam and plant it there. And if it grows, I would wonder, didn't I say I want to have a mango? And now this is yams? When God entrusts us seed, He is making us stewards. And we should carefully listen, what are the seeds for that He gives to us. And if we look in our lives, we often see there are different seeds for different kind of tasks, of good things we should do. If God gives you the money to pay the school fees for your children, don't bring it to the offering. If God blesses you with an abundance of food, don't sell it in the market to bring it to the offering, but look who is needy in my neighborhood. Who doesn't have food? Who doesn't have a farm? Who should I share with? If I have an abundance of food, don't sell it to the market to bring it to the offering. But look, oh, there's a stranger. He has no relatives. He has no tribe here. He has no home, no shelter. Invite him to your home and be hospitable, like we read it in Scripture. And we also should not say, oh, I want to appear big in offering, and I'm going into debt just to give a big offering. No, that is not what God wants from you. If God wants you to give a big offering, He will supply the seed. He will supply that you have abundance, that you can give full of cheer, full of joy. So this is the second question that you have to ask yourself for today. All the good things, all the things that are abundant in my life, what is the purpose that God has given it to me? How looks good stewardship with all these things? How shall I use it? And you have to go in prayer, ask God for guidance, and He will show you. And if He says, well, bring 100,000 francs and bring it to the offering, then do so joyful. Now, the third thing we learn from this day is that this text also talks about good works. You will abound in every good work. What are the good works we are to do? And here again, we look to Jesus. And the good works, they're about living righteous. Living out the righteousness that Jesus is giving us through His blood. When we later celebrate the Holy Communion, we celebrate that He has cleansed us through His blood. That He is living within us. That His Holy Spirit lives within us. That He Himself is enabling us to keep His commandments. not that we struggle out of our own strength, but that we feel the strength of God in our life. And then we see, for example, when we come here, maybe you sit here this morning and you feel, oh, Jesus tells me to live in peace with everybody. But yesterday I was quarreling with somebody in the village, with somebody of the house next door, and I still hate in my life. Then before you give your offering, before you take communion, bring that in order. Ask God for forgiveness, ask the person for forgiveness, and get that hate out of your life. Or if you departed this morning from your family and you had quarrels there, before you bring your offering, before you take communion, bring that in order. Because Jesus gives you the strength to bring that in order. The theme for harvest is my year to prosper. Everybody say, my year to prosper.
My year to prosper.
And if we look into the third epistle of John, where we will find this theme, we will find three kinds of people. There's one who has false prosperity. What is this guy doing? He wants to be the big man in church, telling everybody what to do. Even telling, oh, there are some missionaries preaching the word of God. We don't receive them. Kick them out. They only will eat our food. To this guy, the worldly things are more important than the things of God. And his works are bad works. Then there's the second guy mentioned by John. And he says, this man receives your testimony and the testimony of truth, the testimony of Christ Jesus. John doesn't tell us what this man has done. He doesn't tell us the good works. But he is telling us this man is walking in faith. He's walking in righteousness. And now there's a third guy, the guy that John writes his letter to. And to him he says, walk in truth, walk in righteousness. And I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Now this is the third thing that we can learn from John. John is not praying, pray for my soul, that I be prosperous, that my soul is good. No, he's praying for that third guy, for Gaius. And he says, I pray for you. And this reminds me of a story that I heard from a colleague back in Germany. In his congregation there was a woman. She was out of work. Now, this not only means she had small job, only a small place to live, but also if you are out of work, the other people don't want to have to do anything with you. They don't honor you, they despise you, most of them. But in his church, he had such a woman who, she was out of work, and the congregation tried to help her, and she wrote a lot of applications, and in the end, she was invited to a job interview. The hope of getting a new job, the hope of to earn the living. Now she was in a room waiting to have her interview. And there was also another lady. She was no Christian. She was excited because she has applied for the same job. So there was a competition between the Christian lady and the other one. And as they had to wait, they talked with each other. And that Christian lady in the end said, well, let me pray for you. And she prayed for her, blessed her, prayed to Jesus that she will get that job. So the other lady went into her interview, came out smiling, I got the job, I got the job. And the Christian lady went back to her congregation without job. Her prayer was answered. And she related it to her church, related it to that pastor. She was invited to a second job interview. And again there was another lady, no Christian lady, and again they started to talk. Both have applied for the same job, and she again prayed for the other lady to bless her and to ask Jesus to give her that job. And of course, that other lady, that non-Christian, she was blessed by God and got the job. That also happened a third time, and as she told her pastor, he answered her, "Anne, my dear sister in the Lord, don't you feel hate in your heart? Don't you feel frustrated?" And she said, "No, I don't. I know that God is providing me. My congregation here is helping me that I can go on from day to day. But these other ladies, these three, they had no hope in their lives. They did not know God. And they did not know what it means to have a blessing. And even more, they only saw, oh, competition. I have to be better than the other one. They didn't expect me to pray for them. And by this doing so, I saw the seed of God in their lives. And I believe that God will have his harvest in those three ladies. And myself, I know I have righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And if God blesses me even beyond my expectations, I will praise him and thankful." And this is the third lesson we have to learn for harvest today. To have a big harvest, it's not about us. To have a good harvest is not that we are getting rich. To have a good harvest is about his harvest. He wants to have a rich and abundant harvest in this world. He wants to have a rich and abundant harvest of souls here in Kosala, in your neighborhood. And he wants to use you to go out, to bless people, to pray for them, to pray for their sicknesses, to pray for their needs, and show them there is the living God who loves you and who wants to celebrate with you the Holy Communion here in church today, in our fellowship, but even more in eternity when there's the big feast in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the abundant blessings that you have poured out into your life. And Lord, we are thankful for all these things our eyes see, all these things where we are aware of. But we pray that you will open our hearts through your Holy Spirit, that we can see even more the blessings we have not recognized yet. Lord Christ Jesus, you see the big temptation to bargain with you, to try to bribe our Father in heaven. Make us assure that you are giving us more than we need, that the Father in heaven knows our needs even before we are asking, and that he is no Uncle Scrooge, but that he is generously giving us. So fill our hearts with joy when we give. We also pray that we recognize what we should use the good gifts in our life for. Show us the purpose in our life, the good deed we shall do in your name today, and what means we should use for it. And we pray also that we are not selfish anymore, but look into the needs of others. That we ask first, how can we be a blessing to others, and only afterwards ask and pray for our needs. Thank you for the blessing we have seen in the last year, for the blessing our harvest. And we pray that you will bless us in the coming years, that our lives bring rich fruit in material goods, food, in the blessing of our work, but also a blessing in the eternal goods, a rich harvest of righteousness and soul coming to your kingdom. Praise to you, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen.